This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You've seen those homes. You know they have a cat, even before you meet their feline family member. How? The telltale tattered corners of the furniture, the snagged curtains, the wallpaper that's shredded, the carpeting that's frazzled and frayed. But what if that house is yours? Is there no way to convince a cat to use one of those cute little scratching posts? You love your cat, but really, your belongings are yours, not for their sole pleasure. Or are they? Dr. Kelly St. Denis is proudly one of only six Canadian feline specialist members of Cat Healthy Canada and a board-certified veterinary behaviorist with a special interest in cats. She practices at Charing Cross Cat Clinic, Brantford, Ontario. We'll be right back after this short break.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops, get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, six extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. St. Denis, I am so glad that we're able to chat about this today, and thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm very pleased to be here. And just to clarify, I just wanted to note that I'm actually board certified in feline medicine, not in behavior.
All right. Well, you have a special interest in feline behavior.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, wonderful. So I know that you'll have the expertise to tackle this very itchy, scratchy question. So why do cats scratch?
Cats actually scratch for a number of reasons. And first of all, cats have very unique claws compared to other species in that they have what's called a protractable claw. So they're able to push out their claws for the purpose of hunting, so capturing their prey, maybe to defend themselves, but also to mark their territory. And so one of those things is where we're coming up with problems in our households, because our cats are often marking territory in the household. They do also scratch in order to remove the old nail tissue, revealing a sharper, healthier nail underneath. So again, they'll need to scratch for that purpose. And also when cats are sleeping or if they've been curled up, they need to stretch. They really like to use their nails and stretch out on something to get those muscles all limber for their next activity.
So it's their way of holding on to the ground. So they can really do that great downward dog, or I guess in their case, it's that downward cat that I always see my cats doing.
Exactly. And sometimes they like to do that on a vertical surface, which then unfortunately can involve our furniture.
Yes, I know. Those dear little stinkers. So are domestic felines the only species that have these retractable, protractable nails?
So all cat species do have protractable nails, so in the wild as well as our domestic cats. And to my knowledge, and this is the main species I'm familiar with, that is mainly limited to the feline species.
Okay. And it's fascinating. Oftentimes I will have older cats come in, and I think it's somewhat like older people. Sometimes their daily grooming practices just aren't as good. You know, that senior citizen looks maybe a little bit tattered around the corners. And now you look at this little senior kitty and it's like, oh my goodness, you have really thick nails. Or sometimes their nails start to embed themselves because they've just been growing and growing and clients don't seem to be aware, and they grow into their pads. Why does that happen?
there's two different things that are going on there with our older cats. For certain, as they grow older, the type of tissue that's being produced with the nails seems to be thicker. So it's more difficult when they are scratching to dislodge the old nail and reveal a healthier, sharp nail underneath. But the other problem that's occurring with our older cats is a large portion of them actually suffer from arthritis or degenerative joint disease. And those cats are actually scratching less often. So they're actually spending less time trying to dislodge those older nails. And as a result, you will start to see things that you're noticing, which is the growth into the paw pads, which can be quite painful.
So someone like you and I trying to get down there and do a pedicure, it can be a lot further to get to your toes when you get older versus when you're that toddler that can stick your toes in your mouth.
Exactly. So they're a lot less limber. And if they're in pain, they're definitely less willing to reach out and stretch their body with the arthritic joints present.
So it really would seem as though the pet owner is going to need to be aware that, I have a pet that is getting a little on the mature side, to get them in a habit, the owner as well as the cat, of trimming those nails or at least looking.
It's definitely a good idea for those owners of senior cats to have the nails trimmed more frequently. And the other thing to consider is consulting with their veterinarian more frequently with their senior cat. So they should be seen every 6 months by the veterinarian when they're over the age of 8 years. But then at that time, we may also choose to put the cat on medication for pain related to arthritis if they're showing signs like this, which indicate they're sore.
May that be one of the only signs? Because again, I'll have people come in with their older cats. And though I say, yes, come in twice a year, the last time I saw them was 4 years ago. I was like, really? Have you not been getting my reminders? You know, we're trying to send you out information on social media, why it's so important to come in, going, oh, no, doc, it's doing fine. What are some of the signs that that older pet may be having arthritis other than just not taking care of its nails?
There are a number of fairly subtle signs that, because they happen gradually, clients don't always notice. So some of the things might include reduced grooming. So we might start to notice that the cat's coat is less healthy looking, or they start to mat. Maybe they aren't able to clean around their perineum. So there might be fecal matter or urine staining their hind end because they can't clean back there as well. The other thing that clients...
The fancy term, the bum, correct?
The bum, yeah. The perineum, the bum, the hind end, yeah. So they can get fecal matter and urine staining back in the bum area simply because they can't reach as well to get there and clean. Clients may not realize, too, that there are a lot of other subtle signs. So their cat may initially have been able to jump, for example, from the floor right up onto the kitchen counter, but they may now be taking an intermediate step where they jump on a kitchen chair first to get onto the counter. And if they're taking their time planning their jumps, if they're missing their jumps, or if they're just generally jumping less or less active, those are all subtle signs of arthritis pain.
One of the things that I first noticed, I had an older cat, it was several years ago when I first became really aware of it. You're right, the cat would jump from the floor onto the bed with the greatest of ease, like cats do. And then I remember so distinctly, I was in bed one time and the cat was on the floor and started scratching at the bed skirt. And I poke my head over the side and I'm looking at this cat going, what is your problem in life? Why don't you just jump up here? And then I watched and you could see this little intention tremor. And as he's looking like, I can't do it. And that was his way of first letting me know. And I probably was just dense and hadn't noticed it beforehand. I was like, oh, it's time to start putting down little step stools for you all over the house so you can get from one level to the other. So thank you, Dr. Dennis St. Dennis. That's very important for us to know. You also brought up getting poop stuck on their bum. And again, I've had clients that have shown up and my cat hasn't pooped for the last 2 days. And oh, it just reeks. What's wrong, doctor? And then you look back there and it's like, well, it's trying to poop, but all the poop is stuck in its fur and it just has this mat of poop and fur on its bum so nothing comes out. And once you gently shave that away, it's like, oh, thank you. So sometimes they need that little sanitary trim, that little bikini trim to make sure that all works well.
They absolutely do. And then we may find some of those clients are also having issues with the cat using the litter box for reasons related to being older and painful. So if they can't easily access their litter box. If it was in the basement and they used to go there all the time, but now it's not a comfortable trip, they may not go. Or if their litter box has a very high wall and they're no longer easily able to get into it, then they may stop using their litter box. So major problem there with older cats.
Or sometimes they'll urinate in the box, but they won't poop in the box, you know, one or the other, it seems like. And yeah. I love whoever designed some of these cat boxes where you have to first jump up and then you get into this domed container and you have to walk down 10 steps and then you poop and then you have to walk out these steps. It's like, really? What cat wants to do it? And then you're right. If they start getting a little arthritic, it's like, nope, that corner over there works just fine for me.
Yes. And so I often recommend to clients that they just purchase low-walled storage containers that you would maybe slide under your bed to store items and, you know, get rid of the lid and just use that low-walled storage container as a litter box. And that way the cat can just step into the litter box. There's no fancy agility maneuvers needed to get in there. They can just walk in and use the box.
And then did you get the question or the statement that, but now there's litter everywhere and it smells. What am I supposed to do, doctor?
Yes, of course. Cats do not clean their paws properly. The litter gets stuck in between their toes when they're coming out of the box. So they're going to spread litter in the house, and we can use mats around the litter box. But ultimately, I think when we live with cats, we have to sort of learn that we have to clean those areas up relatively frequently. And we should be scooping our litter boxes every day as well. So smell concerns shouldn't really be an issue if clients are cleaning their litter boxes daily.
I do also have to laugh when, again, I'll have my pet owners come in and their concern is that the cat is defecating outside of the box or eliminating outside of the box. And I'll ask the typical questions, you know, open, closed, where is it located? And one is, how often do you scoop? And probably every 3 to 4 days. And you know that's probably every 5 to 6 days if they don't want to seem embarrassed. So it's every 3 to 4. And then I'll look at them going, so I'm wondering, how often do you flush your toilet after you use it? And they look at me just totally aghast going, every time, of course, going, well, your kitties would really like to have a clean box too. And then they just kind of have this, look to them. It's like, yes.
And when you add in the fact that the cat actually has to walk in the soil box, that just makes it that much more profound for the client, right? They're very clean animals. They don't like to have soiled areas to go.
Yes. It usually seems to fix the problem. It's amazing how that can work. So, okay, going back, we kind of got on a sidetrack, but thank you. I think that was a very nice little diversion there. How do you keep your cat from scratching up your home?
So one of the things that we need to focus on is that cats do need to scratch. So we have to find suitable surfaces in suitable locations for them in order to discourage them from using what you described in the intro as our property. So, you know, they like the couch because the couch is a soft surface. They can mark it up with their claws and it's very solid. So it's not going to move when they lean into it to scratch. So we need to find things that resemble that, that will attract the cat to those new surfaces rather than the things we don't want them to scratch.
So it can be a different, like some people like silk, some people like cotton, some like wool. So kitties have a preference for the type of material they're scratching on, but you also said location.
Yes. So yeah, absolutely. Preference is something that has been explored in various internet surveys. And we found that some of the younger cats tend to like the sisal rope, but every cat will like carpet, sisal rope, potentially some other substrates like cardboard. And it's really good to experiment with your individual cat to see what type of surfaces that they prefer, at the same time making sure that all of those surfaces are available. And location is definitely a really important consideration. So when we're talking about those types of scratch posts that we recommend, the tall ones that have, you know, 2 or 3 levels that provide the cat with 3-dimensional space, if those things are tucked away in a corner somewhere where they can't see out a window and there aren't really any people in the room, the cats are probably not going to want to use that because it's not an active area that's very stimulating. But if we put those posts in front of a window where they can monitor the outdoor bird activity and maybe watch the squirrels and other small animals outside, that suddenly becomes an environmental enrichment and they really like to sit up there and then they'll start using that post for scratching as well. That's one of the location considerations One of the other things that I'll often recommend to clients is that from the perspective of cats scratching something, say like your couch, you probably want to have surfaces around that couch that you want your cat to scratch. So for myself, I have a cat that likes to scratch a particular chair in my living room, and I bought a particular type of scratch post that she likes, and it's sitting right beside the chair.
So for decorative purposes, it may not make you into House Beautiful magazine, but... Well, somebody comes over, you can maybe hide the scratching post for a couple of hours and bring it back out again. But the house kind of is their house, isn't it?
It is their house. And I like to think about scratch posts as part of our furniture now. And the market for these things is really expanding. So we're starting to see a lot of beautiful pieces of really their furniture that can fit nicely into our decor. So if people start thinking about it that way, then they may not be so upset about having those pieces in their living room, for example, because they're actually nice to look at.
I have to laugh as you're describing this piece of furniture, and here in my office, I'm looking right in front of a big window where traffic in my condominium complex goes back and forth. There's a tree out there, and it's a multi-level carpeted sisal arrangement that my cats just beat on. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to look rather tattered. But I figured, you know what? It's their little smell. It's their tatter. This is their comfy chair. So it's kind of like having, you know, somebody in the family that has their really favorite bark lounger or whatever. And you try to give it away. It's like, oh, no, 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 no. That is my chair. I have broken this in. So my cats have really broken this in. It's a little embarrassing to look at, but they love it.
Well, and on the good side, probably then that means they're not using your furniture, hopefully.
No, they're pretty good.
Yeah. So yes, absolutely. Those nicer pieces of furniture scratch posts that we get can start to look a bit tattery over the years, but they're a part of that cat's living space. So hopefully over time, we can start having people wrapping their heads around this as part of their decor. If they're wanting to live with cats, this is what we live with.
Well, I think this information has been awesome, and we definitely need more. So right now, I'm speaking with Dr. Kelly St. Denis. She is one of only 6 Canadian feline specialists in the members of the Cat Healthy Canada, and she practices at Charing Cross and Cat Clinic in Brantford, Ontario. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. St. Denis, I love my cats. And sometimes I think that, you know, boy, if I had a dog, this just might be easier because you can train dogs to do all sorts of things. And then you watch movies or you watch TV and you see these trained cats. But it's like, I could never do that with my cat. Are cats just the general run-of-the-mill kitty that you have at home? Are they trainable?
Cats are actually very trainable, and it really just takes us to wrap our minds around the fact that we can take the time to do this with them. They can learn agility courses, they can learn clicker training, and they can learn basic commands, and they're actually considered to have a better vocabulary potential than dogs do when it comes to the English language. So they're very smart. For our pets, the cats that are food motivated, those are going to be the ones that are going to be the most easily trainable. But some of them are also very motivated by verbal praise and physical praise as well. So we can hopefully train them even if they're not food motivated.
So you get a little bit of food. And for instance, how would you train a cat to come?
Well, so I have never actually trained a cat to come. They know their name. And most of the time what I'll recommend with clients is they start with things like pill pockets or something that is moldable and very aromatic and flavorful. And one of the things I like about the things that we hide our medications in for our cats and dogs is that you can break them into tiny little pieces and use those as a reward for the cat, which without providing too many calories, because they have such a good sense of taste and smell. You only need a tiny 1 millimeter wide piece to reward them. And we can certainly use that to reward them when they come to us. So it may not start off with the simple come command and the cat walks over. Obviously, you're not going to know that word. But when they do come to us, if we use the word and then reward them with the physical treat, then we're teaching them something, a link to a word, an action, and then a reward. One of the nice things about clicker training, which can be found on the Sophia Yin website, and I have provided the links for you, is that we can clicker train these cats so that once the cat is associating that clicking sound with a reward, we don't always have to be right beside them to reward them with food. We can click the clicker when they've done something that we like, for example, scratching the scratch post they're supposed to scratch, and then they get a sense in their mind that they've been rewarded and it makes them feel good.
So a little bit of delayed gratification. They don't always have to get that treat.
They don't always need to treat. And this applies to any kind of training with animals. We know that what we call intermittent reinforcement is more effective than giving a treat every time. So once you've trained that animal to do a certain activity based on a command, if we're only giving them the physical treat every so often, then the behavior is actually better learned in the brain and they actually will learn it and keep it longer.
Well, I think I agree with you that at least my cats have learned a particular word, and that word is cookie. And I have an outside controlled protected area that when I'm home, my cats can go out there. And then if I need to leave or do whatever, or just kind of do a head count of my two, I'll just say cookies and poof, the cats come running in the house because they know they get their little treat at that point. It's like, okay. And then because I know that they have me trained as much as I have them trained. At night, our routine is I walk through the condo and make sure everything is closed up and nice and tight. And if I walk into the kitchen, that's where their little cookie jar is. And they will just sit there and stare with me, those cute little eyes. So they'll get some exercise. I will divide up, like each cat gets 3 or 4 cookies. And I'll throw one way and they have to go chase it, and throw one the other way and they have to go chase it. So I figure they get a little bit of exercise.
They do. That's excellent. They're also getting interaction with you, which is a positive thing for cats. They do need regular positive interaction with their humans. So I really like that. That's nice. And it's lovely that you have an outdoor space for them. Those types of things are becoming more popular throughout the world. It's a little harder here in Canada because of our cold winters, but catios are all the rage. And it's a nice way to provide a safe outdoor environment for our cats so that they're stimulated mentally. I think sometimes we forget that cats are hunters and they need to be mentally stimulated. So when they're living inside, they don't really get to do a lot of hunting unless we're actively playing with them and making sure that they have lots of options to play with if they're playing on their own or things to watch outside.
Or you're unlucky and you have insects in your homes like cockroaches and then they can chase those, but yeah, not good.
That's some hunting behavior, yes.
So if we're training these kitties, how do we train them to use the scratching post?
We definitely want to provide the types of scratching posts that they want to use and in the locations that that they would be using a scratching surface. So if we don't do that to start, we're never going to be able to train them to use those surfaces. It has to be in locations where they might feel the need to mark their territory. A good example is near a front entryway or near a front window where they can see other animals outside that might make them feel like their territory is being threatened. So we have to start again with the whole location idea of making sure that those posts and scratching surfaces are in areas they actually need or want to use. And then we want to definitely make sure we are rewarding them for using that post. So we might choose to feed them some of their meals on the post. We might play with them on the post. We might put catnip on their scratching surfaces. And then we also have a product now available by SIBA that's called Feel-A-Scratch. So it's the same people that make our Feel-Away pheromone plugins and spray. And that actually mimics the pheromone that cats rub onto surfaces when they're marking their territory. So it's not really a scent, but something that they can taste and smell at the same time. And it attracts them to the post. So for our clients that are having difficulty getting cats to attract to a particular scratch surface, they can make use of that product along with the positive reinforcement of training and play on the post.
I think one of the things that's so important too, I like going through pet stores and pet sections of these box stores, and you'll see the scratching post and it's like, oh, that looks really cute and this cat is using it. And then you buy it and you take it home, you realize, oh, that's the size for a kitten. For a decent sized cat, it's like, no, it's going to have to just move its little paws back and forth very quickly right in front of it versus, as you mentioned, they really like to get one of those long stretches and just, get a good scratch in. And it's like, no, that is not going to work. That is too teeny.
Yeah. And that's something that'll be somewhat trial and error. I mean, when you're shopping, obviously you want to consider those factors. But when you get these things home, you might notice when your cat goes to scratch it that it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. And I've experienced that recently with my cat. And I bought some of those cardboard scratchers that are on an angle. So they sit on the floor, but they're angled upwards. And I found that when she was standing on the floor and trying to scratch them, her nails would get caught in it and it would lift off the floor, which is not satisfying for the cat at all. And so what she's learned to do herself without my assistance is to stand on the top of it. Scratch upside down, so somewhat on an angle, and that way the thing doesn't lift off the floor because her body weight's holding it down and she still gets her good dig in and scratches. So those are things that will occur to us partly when we're shopping, but also when we bring items home, there we may notice certain difficulties our cats are having, and there are ways to get around it. In this case, my cat figured it out herself.
And sometimes you just need to have feline friends or owners of felines going, you know, this didn't work for me. Maybe your cat would like it. Because I've done that oftentimes. I'll buy this toy going, oh, that is an awesome toy. And I'll take it home and I'll show it to the cat. It's like, really? I'm not playing with that thing. So fine. I'll take it to the office and give it to some other little kitty that will play with it there.
It's almost like a toy exchange, right?
Exactly.
If you have multiple cats, I find too that some of them will play with certain toys. I have a ball and track that my one cat plays with all the time, but the other cats don't even look at it. So they have different interests, just like people.
The other little kind of thing with scratching posts that I found is really don't get a used one. And I learned that the hard way. One of my aunts had a kitty that had passed on. So she had this awesome scratching post. And she offered it to me. I thought, oh, that is great. You know, still in really good shape. Mm-hmm. I can take it home. It's the type of arrangement that my cats really should like. And I brought it home. I put it in front of a window. So it was a window they hadn't been able to use before. So this was going to be wonderful. And I'll always remember I'm in a two-story facility and house, and I came walking down the stairs one morning, and all of a sudden my nose goes, there's cat pee smell in this house. Where is it? And I never have that smell. My cats always use cat box. So I'm literally on my hands and knees looking like an idiot, trying to sniff where is the smell coming from. And I get over to the scratching post, and it's on the scratching post going, great. So they didn't appreciate having the smell from another cat. So they peed on it, threw that damn thing away. And then the following day, I come downstairs again and I'm greeted by kitty pee smell going, where? And I have some antique furniture with cushions that are contiguous. You can't take them off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it was right next to where the scratching post was and the kitty had peed on it. It was like, oh, I would love to wring your neck, but if anyone's neck I should wring, it's mine. So yes, be cautious of what you bring home.
So they chose to mark the new object as with their territory by urinating instead of just scratching it, which you know, sometimes is a good way to mark territory, but obviously they felt a lot more strongly about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate too. And when you took it out, they must have been able to still smell from the post and decided to mark your furniture.
And they say that cats don't do things out of spite, but sometimes you have to wonder.
So do things out of anxiety and stress for sure. Yeah. And sometimes in response to things we've done.
So if you've been trying to get your cat to scratch on desirable surface and it's not working, now what do we do?
This requires some troubleshooting. And I always recommend that the first thing is to stop and think about not how do I get the cat to stop scratching that surface, but why is the cat scratching that surface? There's frequently going to be a good reason for them to be scratching that surface. For example, if they happen to nap on that piece of furniture or near that piece of furniture and they wake up and they want to stretch and that's the best item available, then that might be a reason that they are using it. And then situations where they may be seeing outdoor animals or they feel threatened because people are coming in and out, say, near a front door. So asking about why they're doing it or looking around and thinking, you know, what is around this particular piece of furniture that they insist on scratching that is making them want to scratch it? And frequently we can come up with the answer as to why, and that will lead us to figure out how we can get them to stop scratching it, either by providing something that's suitable and acceptable to them in that same location. If there are animals outside that are stressing the cat out from a territorial perspective, then we can work at maybe eliminating the animals that are coming into our yard. Motion-activated sprinklers might be a very humane way to keep them out, as opposed to, obviously, we don't want to do anything damaging to the animal that's outside. So we have to actually really figure out the why before we can determine the how.
You'd mentioned that my cats may have urinated on that antique furniture because it wasn't revenge, it wasn't spite, but it was anxiety. How do you know what's going on between their little ears and what can you do for kitty anxiety? No, we have to laugh because, yes, we will sometimes use kitty Prozac, but how do you know what medication to use?
Well, I usually try to start with exactly what you said, is trying to figure out what's going on between their ears. So in that case, I would assume that the cats could smell the other cat and felt that their territory was being threatened. So if you already have more than one cat in the household, they're all living in harmony, relatively speaking, but they probably feel that their resources are maxed out and they certainly don't want another cat coming in. So suddenly they need to mark their territory in a rather profound way to ensure that that animal doesn't invade their space. And obviously the cat wasn't there, but they could smell it. So trying to understand how they're thinking, and often it is related to territory. It's often related to resource management. So if there are multiple cats in the house, we may find that there's actually some inter-cat problems, that the cats don't actually like each other. And so they're coexisting in a space they would rather not. And so those types of things will drive them to scratch more often. When I work with clients in these situations, we really try to avoid using any medications, but you're absolutely right. In some cases, when cats are very anxious or having some behavioral issues because of anxiety, then anti-anxiety medications may be helpful. And certainly Prozac or fluoxetine, which is the drug name that we use, is one of the ones we might reach for to help with anxiety.
I know that some of my clients will come in and they want to use, or we'll show them how to put on little nail caps. What are your views on the nail caps? So it's just the nails are still there, but it's blunted.
So the nail caps in my practice are very good for training. So when cats are coming new into a household or we have new kittens, and the clients are feeling a lot of anxiety about that cat potentially damaging their furniture while they're in the process of training the cat, I find those to be helpful. So they're little plastic vinyl caps that get glued over the nail so that when the cat actually scratches that surface or attempts to scratch the surface, they're not causing any physical damage. I have had a couple of patients that have maintain those types of things over their lifetime. So they need to be removed relatively frequently, every 4 to 6 weeks, with a nail trim and then reapplication. But my experience with them is really that they should be a short-term option while we're having the client train the cat to scratch in appropriate locations. And I like them for that reason, because if a client is really anxious and stressed about a cat damaging their furniture, they may be more apt to yell at the cat or feel the need to punish the cat. And we know that punishment makes inappropriate scratching much worse. So we want to do things to relieve the client from a certain level of stress while we're working with them to help them train the cat to scratch appropriately.
Dr. St. Denis, as we're kind of wrapping this up, the elephant in the room, surgical declaw. there are people that are just vehemently opposed to this. Some veterinarians that say if it's keeping the cat in the house and keeping the stress and keeping that human-animal bond going, then they are not opposed to it. What are your views on surgically declawing cats?
Well, interestingly, I used to perform declaws in my practice. It's probably been about 4 years now that I haven't, so not a very long time. And my view is that we really can live with cats with claws. We don't need to declaw them to have them using the appropriate surfaces. We just need to take the time to understand their emotional needs and their resource needs and to provide those to them rather than just expecting them to know what and where that they can scratch. So we certainly can move towards a more positive view by helping veterinarians train their clients and support their clients in actually living with a clawed cat instead of considering declawing.
Well, thank you. I know that not all veterinarians are on the same page. So if you are the owner of a cat that's scratching, there are so many options for you to try to keep your cat scratching what you want them to. It doesn't always work. If there is a situation where you may be a person with some condition that makes you immune suppressed, nail caps may work. Sadly, it may need to be something like a declaw, but the best thing is don't jump to it. There's a lot of alternatives. Talk to your veterinarian. You may just have an older kitty that needs some additional grooming assistance, but there are options. Talk to your veterinarian. Dr. Kelly St. Dennis, thank you so much. This has really been a fun conversation and I think a very educational conversation.
Well, I'm very glad to have joined you to talk about declawing and what I refer to as claw counseling. Thank you.
My pleasure. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. If you have any questions, if you have any topics you want me to cover, please just drop me a note and I will make sure that we do so. So please tune in next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Have a great week.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.